I'm going to do something slightly different this afternoon in that this isn't going to be based on a particular passage from the Bible, although I'm going to get to the Bible for the last 2 minutes or so. But this afternoon is around vision. And really it's a news update and some of where we're going as Grace Church, what the future holds, some of the initiatives we're getting involved in, and some of the things we're getting started. So that's what we're going to do. We have been here as Grace Church for about 7.5 years now. And we started as a church plant, and we're no longer a church plant. There are various criteria. We're part of the family of churches called New Frontiers. And New Frontiers have a list of criteria as to, you tick all these and you're now no longer a church plant. I don't know what they are. I can't remember what they are. But we are no longer a church plant. We are a church. We're established. We're growing. We're healthy. And things are moving forward. But what we have to be careful of as we reach that stage is that we don't keep acting like a church plant and keep doing things the way a church plant does things. Because there are specific things about church planting that are no longer relevant to us. And so we've spent some time sitting down, and just to let you know, I'm going to be a little more tied to my notes today because I want to get this right. This isn't about me just going off and following whatever I feel is right. This is stuff we're going to do. This is, you know, the other elders have looked at this. And as I say us and we, as I speak, that's because it's me, it's Moz, it's Ben. This is the way we want to go forward. And I'm going to be quite specific in some of those things. So we thought, you know, we've been through a lot of changes over the last 12 months as a church, and we thought it'd be good now to say actually what we need to do is communicate some of where we're going to you so you know what's coming up. So what is it? Now, this is about vision, but it doesn't replace what's on the banner there. Our vision: we want to make much of God in all of our lives. We want to impact Bromsgrove and the ends of the earth with the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And we want to build an authentic and spirit-filled community. Right from the very beginning, those three things have been what we are about. And then the way we've done those things is with the values that we've got on that banner at the back. That governs how we do the things we do. The thing is, when you look at that, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that, and it's what we're going for still, but it's a big thing. And you can look at that sometimes and say, but how are we going to make that happen? Well, this is about how we're going to make that happen or contribute towards it, because we're not going to get there. Certainly not in my lifetime, we're not going to achieve all of that. And even if I'm here all my life, who knows? But we are not going to get all of that, but we have to break that down and we have to know what we're going for. And so that's important. So I thought the best thing to do would be to start, though, with sharing some of the prophetic words we've had as a church. Because church plants are built upon prophetic foundations. You cannot plant churches without prophetic words being there at the beginning, because basically that's God speaking. It's God speaking into it. It's God saying, this is where we're going. It's God saying, this is what I want you to do. And so we had a number of those, and I'm going to read some of them. I'm not going to read all of them out to you, but there was one in particular that really shaped us as a church. And that was in 2006. We were at a regional camping weekend called Envision. It was a long time ago, 6 years ago. And there was a guy preaching called Andrew Davis, and he leads a church down in South Wales in Cardiff called Ribena, which sometimes sounds like Ribena. That's how I remember the name of the church. Word association. Isn't that funny? No? Okay. Isn't that strange? It's strange, isn't it? Strange? No? Okay. Anyway, he leads the church down there, and he was speaking at this weekend, and he was speaking on the time between Jesus ascending into heaven and Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples, that 10-day gap. And then he said, is there anyone from Bromsgrove here? Some of you may remember this. And he proceeded, I'll read this out word for word. He proceeded to say this: I feel I've got a word for you, for Bromsgrove, as a church. And God is wanting to say to you that you're truly not a community of the 10 days. I'll explain what he means by that in a moment. And that he has made you to be something quite distinct and something quite different and something that actually doesn't seem like it's going to fit in sometimes. I feel God saying your food and enjoyment together are key to seeing many coming into the kingdom of God. He's going to give you unusual ways to win the lost. However, I just believe God wants to say this. He really wants you to be a church that knows the authority that is upon you because you are going to have to make a stand. I feel there is going to be some opposition, some things that will come, and you're going to need to know that authority to make a stand that is coming to have a massive impact on many lives. And then he prayed this. Father, I want to pray for that community. I want to pray for that church. I want to pray, Father, that they truly will be that distinctive thing that you have called them to be there in Bromsgrove. Lord, that place of great fun and great laughter. That place, Lord, where they're encountering you again and again and again. Lord, I want to pray now that they will truly know the authority that you have called them to be there at this time, precisely this time. Your hand is upon them to make a massive difference. Lord, do it, please, in your name. Amen. That was amazing at the time when it came. That was just at the time when we were doing things like having a party on a Sunday afternoon as our church meeting. And there were some that didn't like it. Not some here. There were some that came to visit and said, well, I'm not joining this. And we kind of thought, ugh, what's that all about? But then we had a statement like this saying that there'll be unusual ways that we have to make a stand, that God's giving us authority to do things the way he's put on our hearts to do them. And so out of that came things like, but we had to party. And the parties that we do and various other things. What he meant by not being a community of the 10 days, though, was really important. The community of the 10 days meant they hadn't got Jesus with them physically anymore, the disciples, and the Holy Spirit hadn't come upon them at that point. So in that 10 days, they were without the physical presence of Jesus and without the presence of him through the Spirit. What Andrew Davis was saying through that prophetic word was, you're not like that. You have the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit now. So go out there and do what I've called you to do. And so it was such an important word for us at the time. Then we had another word about a fishing net. And we had a number of words like this around this. That someone had a picture of a fishing net and that net was being tied off bit by bit. You know how a net is like strands like that, like a grid, that are all being knotted together. And this picture was of this net being knotted together slowly but surely. And we felt at the time God was saying we're to build community, we're to tie ourselves together, we're to build a community, but we've got to do it deliberately, steadily and slowly, not rushing ahead into anything, but being very careful about things to build this net. Of course, we need to use the net to go fishing. That's what a net is for. Then recently we had another word around that whole net image, saying that over the years some of the parts of that net have been damaged through wear and tear, life, doing life, and it was time to repair the net and for the bits that everybody's been working on to come together and be all connected up together. Now what I felt from that was it's time to go fishing. It's time to get that net ready, and it's time to cast our net, and it's time to go fishing. Time to go and seek unbelievers. Now, we've been doing that all the time, but I think there seems to be an urgency about this. Hey, let's go, let's do this, let's see more people saved, let's see this grow. Yeah.
And in the picture in the worship, I felt that the net really needed to be tied, because otherwise, when a lot of people become saved, it won't be able to be there for everyone.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. For the benefit of the recording, I'm gonna repeat some of that. Felicity had a picture of, and God brought to mind the story of when the disciples were out fishing and Jesus said, cast the net in on the other side, because they'd been fishing on one side, the normal side, the way you usually do it, and they caught nothing. Do it a way you're not used to doing it, and it's a little bit unusual, casting it on the other side, and they caught a massive haul that even started breaking the net. And actually that ties in with that prophetic word about God speaking to us, saying there'll be unusual ways of winning the lost. You'll see unusual ways of doing it. Now, I don't entirely know what that unusual ways means. Does it mean having a pub quiz and doing all those kind of things that we do? You know, we don't preach the gospel there, but what we do is we enable people to build relationship there. And so I don't know what that unusual thing is going to be. I don't know exactly the application of casting our nets on the other side. I'm open to suggestions over the coming months on that one, because we want to do that. We want to follow what God's saying. So thank you, Felicity. That's really, really helpful. So we had those pictures. Then there was a picture recently. Obviously, we've been through some time of transition, especially around leadership and in terms of growing as a church and things changing. And there's a picture of a river that it was broadening. But as a river broadens, it loses a bit of its impetus. Some of the current slows down as it expands and changes shape. And it's felt like that this last year, certainly to me it has. And that actually, this picture then went on to say, but the current now, that the water's used to the width of the banks again, it's starting to flow again. And it was almost a kind of, okay, we're picking up again here. And then there was another word that someone brought to me at the Brighton conference a couple of years ago. This was a guy from India who'd been brought in especially for this seminar because he'd got a prophetic gift. And he said to me, he said, when your transition is complete in terms of leadership, because I don't know whether I'd mentioned to him or mentioned to someone, but he said this, when the transition's complete, expect an outpouring of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, that really made me think, because I thought, well, hang on, we kind of, leadership has changed, that's happened. But as we looked at this and thought about it, we thought, actually, we don't believe that the transition has actually finished until about now. We feel that we're coming to the end of that period of transition around now, really. In that it's taken time. Transition isn't just, well, someone's gone, someone's doing this, and got a new elder, and that's done. It actually takes time to get back into the flow of things, like that picture of the river. And so I honestly believe that we are to be expectant for an outpouring of the gifts of the Spirit and of God on us and the presence of God on us. And he said, I mean, he talked in terms of fireworks going off, you know, that dramatic kind of thing. Now, you know, we have to weigh these things, but that was brought to us. And so it's important to know that, and it's important to hear these things. And as I say, I believe that we're just coming to the end of that transitional period. And some of what we're doing this afternoon is actually us now saying, right, let's move forward. And another word recently about more of an outpouring of God's presence as we gather. You know, these have been coming thick and fast. And so we need to know these things. As I then say, this is what we're going to start doing practically. These are some of the things, the initiatives that are starting to come about. We need to know some of this prophetic foundation so that we know we are doing God's work. We are doing God's will. This is not just we've had some good ideas. We're doing this on the back of prophetic words. So what's going to happen? What are we doing? I want to talk about the future. As with all these things, we can't, even if we're starting something and there are concrete plans, we can't always guarantee how they're going to turn out and which way they're going to go. So this is to the best of our thinking at the moment. I'm not talking here things we may do. This is stuff that's happening and we're doing. This is real things that are happening. So let me start with leadership. As you know, Ben became an elder in November. So we have three elders now, which we feel at the moment is the right number for Grace Church. And we are now looking at leadership and how we do that across all of Grace Church. When we started as a church plant, we had everybody who was in leadership of some description at Grace Church has been part of the extended leaders team, and that's what we've got at the moment. So we're just looking now at what we do with leadership. Now, we've made some decisions, and I'm not going to go into detail now, because this coming week we have a meeting with all of that extended leaders team to talk to them about it. It's only right that as they're the people that are in those positions of leadership, those roles of leadership, that we talk to them first about it. So that's happening, but actually that's happening this week. So I'm not going to talk about that in detail now, but just so you know, that's happening. And then what we'll do is this week we're talking to the extended leaders about that, and then we're going to follow that up with some teaching on leadership here at Grace Church. We're going to spend some Sundays looking at the subject of leadership. And the way we're going to do that, because there's so much been done on leadership, we're not going to cover it all. We're going to do it and how it specifically applies to Grace Church. So we're going to look at the character of leaders. What do we expect of a leader's character? Because after all, it's one of the most important things for leaders. How does that apply in Grace Church? And we're going to look at some lessons from the New Testament church and how they structured themselves and how they did things like that. So we're going to look at that. So that's what's coming for the coming few weeks in terms of that. Let me go through now one that will affect a number of people, and that's community groups. Community groups are our groups in the week where we gather in smaller groups, some not so small groups as well, and they are hugely important. They are so, so important to Grace Church. Cannot overemphasize how important they are. They are the setting where we can provide support for one another, build deeper relationships, get to know one another better. They're very, very important. And they're important because if you were here last week and you remember Phil had a table here, I did think at one point of asking him to bring his blocks of wood back, but then I didn't think of that in the end, in time. And he had two blocks of wood. One, and from a distance, they look similar. You could say, well, there's two blocks of wood there. But Phil showed us that actually one of them, while it was solid wood all the way through, the other one was pretending. There was a veneer on it. I was trying to think of another expression there. I can't think what I was going to say. But it had a veneer. It wasn't what it seemed. It wasn't what it appeared to be. The veneer didn't run all the way through. It was just there on the surface. And Phil was talking to us about how important it is not to have a veneer, but actually that people see the real you, and that you have relationships and you build those relationships that allow people to see past that and help break that down and not have a veneer, but be genuine and authentic. And that's really important. And actually, community group is where that happens. Those kind of relationships are built. It's difficult to build them just doing this on a Sunday. And while this is good and important, community groups are vital to those deeper relationships. And so we've looked at those and said, how can we take those further, but how can we make sure that we're applying that and not seeing that veneer, and that the groups aren't growing too big and allowing, and hindering those kind of relationships? The problem we've got is the community groups have just grown too big. Right from the very beginning, we always said they're smaller groups so people can get to know each other and people can have deeper relationships, accountable relationships. But what's happened is as they've grown and we haven't let them multiply quick enough and we've made mistakes there, what's also happened is then leading one of those groups has become far more work than it was ever intended to be. And so what happens is you say to someone, we'd like to do this group, can you lead it? They look at what they've seen as a community group leadership role and gone, no way, I'm not doing that. Group that big and I've got to do this and this. And it's just meant that then we've hindered ourselves in being able to multiply groups because we've made the role look bigger than it needs to be. So what we've been doing is we've been running what we've called a pilot project, a test phase, whatever you want to say, with what was Jared and Helen's group. Now, Jared and Helen are involved with the youth now, so I've taken on that group just for the time being, not permanently, through this phase. And what we've done is we've broken that down into smaller groups. Now, we've gone down initially to three groups. I think actually we've probably gone too small there, and we're going to go to two groups with that. We're going to slightly alter that. This is why we do it with one group first, and we haven't just gone across, because we want to learn lessons and get this right. And it just made it easy to do it with the group I was in, because I can then see how it's going. So we've gone down into two smaller groups, and we've called those groups a different name. We've called them life groups. And the reason we've taken that decision is because that is what the groups are about. They're about doing life together. They're about being involved in one another's lives, supporting one another, being accountable to one another, having those deep relationships that mean we are doing our lives together. And then the idea is that once a month, roughly, those smaller groups, those life groups, come back together and have a time together, celebrating and enjoying one another's company and worshipping together. Maybe having some teaching in there. You know how we did the gifts of the Spirit teaching, where we came house to house and did teaching. You know, those can be a time for that, potentially as well. So that's what we've been doing with that group. And what have we found? Well, we've found that in a smaller group, it's a lot more flexible. So in our group, we had someone who could very rarely make a... Was it Wednesday night we used to meet? We used to meet every Wednesday night. One person just couldn't do it. Work-wise, just wasn't possible. So we thought, well, this is daft, because that means this is built around Wednesday night rather than built around the people, and it's supposed to be about the people. And what we've found now is we arrange it to suit the group. We can do that because it's so much smaller. We've had Sunday lunch together. We've had a walk in the woods and where we did a little sort of thought for the day at the end of it. And it was brilliant. But what it does is it gives a lot more flexibility. What it also does is it allows you to have meals together. And having meals together is important. Remembering that prophetic foundation there. Our meals together, our food and enjoyment together, are going to bring people into the kingdom. That's what that said. And so we're serious about that. Now, for some people, meeting on the same day every week works. Fantastic. No need to change that if it works. And for others, it doesn't. And so it gives the flexibility when you have a smaller group to make that work around the people. So that's what we've been doing with that. Now, of course, it's not just about looking inwards. This is about looking outwards as well. And so there's a missional aspect to these groups. You see, in the group that we've got quite a few shared friends. And so it's very easy for us to say, well, let's have food together and invite some of our shared friends to our group. That's life group. We're doing life together and we're involving. We're blurring the edges between the church and those of our friends outside of the church. And it's given us greater flexibility to do that. So that's what we've been doing. The life groups, each life group has got a leader or couple leading it, one person leading it. The idea is that that person doesn't do everything, but they just make sure it happens, and that they're a catalyst for people getting together and doing life together, sharing tasks and doing things together, and letting other people take on things as well. But the emphasis has always been, let's be together, let's share our lives together. Sometimes that's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's really nice because you've got support. Other times it's uncomfortable because someone's saying, what about that in your life? We need that. We all need someone who can put their finger on things, however uncomfortable that might be. And so that's what those groups are for. And as I say, those groups then come together with a community group leader looking after all of those. The small groups, the life groups, they vary, probably about 7 or 8 in each one at the moment. That's not a fixed number by any means. This is why we want to do this group by group and make sure it fits each group and works for each group. We've got a group that's going to start looking at that at Easter, and then what we want is to have all that done hopefully by the end of the calendar year, for everybody to have moved to this model in some form or another, recognising that groups are different because there are different people in them. And so we work with each group as it goes with that. Obviously, as we look at that with a particular group, We'll explain that in more detail. This is just to give you an overview of what this looks like and what we're doing. But that is something we're doing this year. Okay, what else are we doing this year? We had last week a very, very successful quiz night. I was thrilled with the quiz. I didn't win, but that didn't matter really. We've done quiz nights before. This week, there were roughly 28 Grace Church people there and about 48 to 50 non-Grace Church people there. That, to me, is just a real success. The idea of these is to, again, blur that boundary. It doesn't have to be, we don't have someone standing up preaching the gospel. We haven't done that. This is about giving you a vehicle for inviting friends and building relationship. It's about enabling each other to build relationships with those outside the church in a non-threatening, fun and easy atmosphere. And I think it was that. Certainly we had fun and our friends enjoyed it too. We did the Christmas party just before Christmas. And then we've got coming up, what have we got coming up? Obviously we'll do the Christmas party again. We'll do the summer barbecue. We've got Alpha coming up and starting at the middle of April. And then we are also going to do the Easter egg hunt. We've got coming up at Easter. That's happening. And we've got a barn dance being planned. Ooh. Oh, that was popular. There were gasps. Either gasps of horror or gasps of delight. I think they were of delight. What we want to do with these events is not just have them as standalone events, but build on momentum over the period of time. And so at the Christmas party, we had the invites ready for the quiz night. And we'll hopefully, we haven't managed it this time with the barn dance yet, because that's a bit further on. But we're hoping to build and build momentum on that and keep going on that. And so we are looking at more options for events and venues, more opportunities to do things together, to do things with friends. So that is going to be a really important focus as we build that. We want to build a reputation for doing good things, and we want people to have fun and get to know each other. You know, we did one last year where we invited some friends. Well, Pam probably invited them because she's the sociable one. And Pam invited some friends and they said, that's all right, someone else has already invited us. Our friends had been invited by someone else at Grace Church to come to something. You know, it was brilliant. Because that happens. There was a guy there, and I've forgotten his name, but I wouldn't say anyway because of the tape, but I'm just being honest, I've forgotten his name. But I've seen him at lots of different things and got to know him a little bit. And so it's good. Bill's got to know him very little bit, yeah, I know, because I don't even know his name. I knew that would be a really poor example. But I recognise him. I can say hello to him and have a conversation and just avoid thinking of names. But it's valuable because we see people we recognise and we see one another's friends, and that's a good thing. Okay, let me move on to something slightly different. Forgive me for jumping around here, but I'm just trying to do a few things and then get on to something that's going to be larger for us. I want to move on to something in terms of the wider family of New Frontiers that we're part of. Richard Thomas from Worcester has been someone we've always looked to as a regional leader, someone we've related to and has always been there for us when we've needed to ask him things and looked for advice on things as a leader who's been doing things for a long time, or longer than me, a lot longer. Not that he's that old, obviously, in case he listens to this. But New Frontiers itself is going through some changes. Terry Virgo, who many of you will have heard of, who's led New Frontiers and really was the first person to gather some churches together, has stepped down in terms of leading. He's getting on. He's moving into different things. And so what they've decided is they're not going to replace Terry Virgo with a single leader. They've got a team. And not just that, but they have teams in lots of countries, and each country is going to be a lot more autonomous. Then within the UK, there are what are being called apostolic spheres. I'll explain that in a moment. All over the country. So there are basically five apostolic groupings. So there's guys who have got apostolic gifting, the gifting to look after a number of churches and to church plant and to see churches planted, who will have teams who will then look after churches. And this is not being done regionally. This is being done relationally, which is the way it should be. Now, some of those churches will be in regions together, quite close, because of where a particular guy lives and the church planting he's been involved in. We are going to belong to one of those spheres, and we are belonging to the one that is going to be led by David Devenish. Now, some of you will know that name. To some of you, that will mean nothing at all. Dave is going to be speaking at our summer camp, which we advertised today, and the booking forms are out. So you get to see him there. Dave was the guy back in 1996 initiated church planting in the Midlands. There were no New Frontiers churches in the Midlands at all until Dave had a prophetic word and said, right, we're going to plant churches in the Midlands. And now we've got lots. And he was the catalyst for that. That is the way apostles work. They plant churches. That's what the Apostle Paul did. And Dave Devenish has now been involved in Eastern Europe, doing a huge amount of work over there. He's now cutting down his travel by 50%, which, as he said, I saw him last week, and he said, that still means I'm abroad at least once a month for a few days. He's going to be spending more time in the UK, more time with the churches. Now, I know Dave from my days in Birmingham. For me, this is hugely exciting. Dave has a fantastic vision for growing churches, growing leaders, and seeing churches move on, seeing the gifts used. He's got an incredible prophetic gifting. It's going to be brilliant, but it's going to take time. So you may see no impact from this for a while. The region consists of, or this apostolic sphere consists of lots of churches, all through Birmingham, all the Birmingham churches, one in Newcastle, one down in the southeast somewhere. They're all over the place because it's relational rather than geographical, although the majority of them are here in the Midlands. So we're going to be part of that. We will see how that works out coming year. I'm seeing Dave and some of the other guys in that group quite often at the moment. So there should be some input coming through. And he will have a team of people who hopefully will benefit from. Okay, now, I've taken longer over that than I intended to. The main thing, really, though, and the main thrust for us this year, I believe, is going to be into something that many people call social action. Remembering the poor, being involved with people who are disadvantaged, people in need. We have a number of things that we're starting to do on that. That means I really feel that this is going to be a major thrust for us this year. There are a number of people here in Grace Church who are very passionate about this. And I've been learning and playing catch-up over the last couple of years. I felt a few years ago God really stirring me because I felt it was an area that I wasn't really getting involved in and was missing from my life in terms of my involvement and what I did in terms of that biblical mandate. And looking after the widows, remembering the poor and all of that side of things. And so I felt really stirred on this, and I feel now that we're in a position to stir Grace Church on this and say, this is where we're going, this is what we're going to do. Now, there are a few strands to this. One of those has been going for a while. Steve and Felicity, I didn't tell them I was going to mention them, a while ago they moved house into an area where they just wanted to get stuck into and meet people, get to know people, and really just live this as a lifestyle and just say, no, this is life. You know, this is what we're called to. And I think they are a real example in this. And Steve has been a great provocation to me in making sure that we don't forget this vital and necessary, mandatory area of church life. And I remember Steve coming to me saying, when Robin was going, saying, we mustn't forget this. And so I think they have carried this biblical mandate better than anyone. And, you know, it's good to say things like this and honour them for that, because they've done a fantastic job in doing that and keeping it fresh and keeping it alive in people's minds. And so we're going to really start doing a lot more in this. And you may have heard that we're involved in street pastors. That's going to kick off this year. We already have one person signed up to be a street pastor, Steve. He's going to be doing that. Steve's going to be treading the streets on a Friday night until some unearthly hour of the morning. And the idea of that is just to be on the street and be there. It's not to be the police and do their job. It's about just being Jesus on the street, if you like. Being there, compassionate with people, helping people, serving people. People who have come out of clubs and can't get a taxi. Or have come out of clubs, girls with high heels on, silly heels that now they've had a drink, they can't walk in. They take them off and then they walk through the street where there's broken glass. So they give out flip-flops and bottles of water and all this kind of stuff. It's fantastic and it transforms communities. I've seen it happen. So we're involved in that with lots of churches. This is a church. This is something that all the churches in Bromsgrove pretty much are involved in together, which again is a huge, hugely significant thing. There's huge unity on this and on some other things as well, which is really exciting. And so Steve signed up to be a street pastor. There are other opportunities to sign up. I haven't signed up to be out on the street, I must admit. But there are opportunities to sign up to be part of prayer teams as well. So you don't have to be out on the street to be involved. So if you want to be involved in that, come and see me. There are opportunities there. We are looking at... we're looking at reaching some older people. Theo and Cindy joined us September time, with a real heart for reaching older people. And so we're looking at some opportunities at the moment. We've got some opportunities with some care homes in the town that somebody has brought to us, that we're looking at how we can explore that and get involved in that. And so that's, again, that's opening up for us, which is fantastic. You know, we hadn't planned for that. God has just done that. You know, God has just brought this here. And so we're following it. If God brings it, we're going to get in there and we're going to do that. Tomorrow evening, I'm going to a meeting about a food bank. Catshill Baptist are looking at setting up a food bank in Bromsgrove with the Trussell Trust, who are a very widely respected charity that do that. And so we're looking at that, again, in unity with other churches. And then pregnancy crisis counselling. I don't know whether that's the proper full name, but that's what I keep calling it. This is something we wanted to do a while ago. And that was being led, and then the people leading that moved away. So we put it on the back burner. It is now coming off the back burner and is very much on the front. We now have someone to lead it, someone to take it on, and someone to take it forward. And that's Jonathan Coleman, the wonderful Jonathan Coleman, who's not in here, so I can say whatever I like about him. Although you might get reported back. I am thrilled with this. Jonathan is a GP, for those of you who don't know. And as a GP, he knows what a service like this needs to look like, because he knows what a GP would want to be able to refer people to. And so Jonathan is currently contacting other churches to get to say, look, we're doing this. Come and be involved if you want. I know we have a number of people trained up. I'm meeting with Jonathan and another doctor and someone else who runs the centre in Worcester. So we've got meetings lined up. We're starting to roll this out in terms of getting it up and running, getting the infrastructure. Now, this will take time because we have to do it right. This is not the kind of thing that we can put in place and then for it to all fall down. This is too important. But we really feel that now is the time and this is the right time for us to start moving forward with this. So I'm thrilled with this, and I think it's going to be significant for Grace Church in terms of us being part of the community and providing a service like that to Bromsgrove, who don't really have that kind of service available at the moment. So that's really important. And again, I know some of you have been trained on that already. Those of you who have been trained, we'll let you know what we're doing with that and when you can get plugged in. For those of you who are not trained, who want to be trained, who want to get involved in that, pre- and post-abortion counselling, I don't know which one will start first. Jonathan will advise us on that. But if you want to be involved in that, again, see Jonathan or see me, but I'll only point you to Jonathan. He will tell you where you can be involved in that. And then we have another part to all of this, which is just a part that's been opened up to me recently through St. Andrew's Church in Chafford. There's a guy there who heads up all their social action stuff, and he'll be leaving early next year, and he is just opening doors for me to be involved in all the things he's doing in schools, with social services, with the police, with the council. I'm having doors open to me left, right and centre to sit on panels and all sorts of things. So there's a huge amount opening up to us here, and this is something we're going to follow up and start getting people involved in as the year progresses. And I think that's going to be a very exciting opportunity, all of those, for us. Okay, two more things, and they're brief. Firstly, a brief statement on membership. We believe it's important to have membership. We believe it's biblical. If you come on the next membership thing, I'll tell you why that is. We're currently refreshing the material we use. We currently do two evenings. That's all it is, for people to discover what are we doing, what's our vision, what are our values, how do we go about things, what are the distinctives about us, and why would you want to be part of it? And so we are going to be hopefully running one of those, or that two-evening thing in April, end of March, beginning of April. I'm currently going through the material and just refreshing it, bringing it up to date, and then we'll be doing one of those. And we will be explaining what that means. We'll be explaining why we do it, which is important to know. Now, the other thing we always did with membership was we always used to say, and we're going to do something for people to keep on saying, yes, I'm here, I'm a member. We're looking at that and how we refresh membership and keep membership fresh and keep it moving forward. So we're looking at that at the moment. So for those of you who are new and haven't done that yet, we'll let you know. We'll advertise it as soon as it's available. But hopefully that won't be too much longer, and you can come and just see exactly where it is we're going, what we're doing. So it's some of this, but it's a lot more. And so, yeah, it gives you the information to say, yes, this is my home. This is where I belong. This is where I make my commitment. And it's where then the church goes, well, if they're joining, we are committed to them too. And I sometimes liken it to pre-marriage counselling. It's that kind of, yeah, I know I want to be there, but hey, let's find out as much as we can first and make sure we get it right. Like a pre-marriage course. Okay, and then finance. Firstly, if you give to Grace Church, thank you. We are just hugely grateful that month after month people keep giving, and they keep giving to Grace Church. And we are hugely grateful for that, and it is brilliant. And we honestly believe, as Martin Eaton preached a few weeks ago, that giving to the local church is absolutely biblical. It's the right thing to do. And if you consider Grace Church to be your home, then biblically that's where you should be giving your money. And we never ask how much, and we go through this on the membership evening. We never ask you how much. We don't want to know how much. We just say cheerfully and regularly, giving to the local church is the right thing to do. And if you are committed here and you don't give, then all I'd say is get before God and say to God, how much do you want me to give? And when he tells you, do what he tells you. That's what it's about. It's about doing what God tells us to do. Okay. I'm going to wrap this up. So in summary, what we've looked at there is the fact that we have been established on prophetic words. We're looking at changes with the leadership structure, community groups. We're going to do a lot more events this year and build momentum on that and give you opportunities to help build relationship with your friends. Talked a bit about New Frontiers, and then quite a lot about the social action part of things that we're getting involved in. Membership, finance. And then we've got to make sure that we don't lose sight of why we're here, that we don't lose sight of our mission. Matthew 28:18, you don't need to turn to it, I'll read it, says, and Jesus came to them and said to the disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are here to make disciples. We are here to not just do this, but to go. And go and reach people and make disciples. Yes, we want to continue the discipleship of the people within the church, but it's also about making new disciples, seeing people come to know Jesus. That's what we're here for. The fact that Jesus died so that we don't have to and took the penalty of all our wrong for us, that is something I want to talk about. That is something I want to shout about. And all of these things that we do, we need to keep in mind that we carry the gospel with us and that we speak to people about the gospel. We speak to people about Jesus. Matthew 11, verse 12 says this, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence and the violent take it by force. I was talking to someone recently about this verse, and he is just an incredible Bible scholar, sits on theological panels and everything, so it's more me listening to him than having a discussion. And he was telling me how people take this verse the wrong way. And this is not about going and getting something violently. This is about persecution. This is about the fact that the kingdom has suffered violence and violent men come against it. And so as we do these things, as we go out on a mission, as we go and make disciples, we will face opposition. We will. If we're not facing opposition, then my question is, well, we must be doing something wrong. We will face opposition. However, as we do these things, we can also look at Matthew 16, verse 18, which says this. And I tell you, you are Peter, this is Jesus speaking, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is the bride of Christ. Jesus is preparing his bride for the end times, so that when he comes back, he has a spotless bride to bring back to the wedding feast, to be with him. That's who we are. And as we do these things, we have to remember that we are the bride of Christ. And we are glorious. This is the glorious church. I know to some people it doesn't look that way. But actually, as we go out and we do things, and we affect one individual at a time, then when one individual turns around and says, wow, it is glorious, who didn't think that before, there's victory. Let's move on to the next victory. Let's move on and move on, one at a time. Each of us taking that mandate to go and share the gospel. Go and make disciples. As we get involved in these things, let's make disciples. Let's make sure that the gates of hell do not prevail. They will not prevail. That's what the Bible says. They will not prevail against it. And so we are going to head into this year with hope and optimism. We're going to do some of this stuff. We're going to go for it. I believe we're going to see God just act on our behalf. We're going to see him save people. We're going to see him add people. When I look at all that we're doing, with community groups and the leadership stuff especially, the phrase that keeps coming to my mind is that we're restructuring for growth. When you stop being a church plant, you start being a church, you've got to structure things so that it can grow and it doesn't bottleneck just around a few people. And so we're looking to put in structures and things so that we can grow, so that people can be looked after as we bring them in. People who are hurting, people who have just got no hope. That's who we're going for. That's who we're after, because Jesus will give them hope. Yeah. Yeah, excellent. We're all involved. Thank you, Ian. You're right. We're all involved. This is about all of us. This isn't just about me and Ben and Moz, because if it is, we're in trouble, because there's only three of us. And Ben and Moz are brilliant, but, you know. we've got to do it all. Yeah, you're right. We're in this all together. And so I'm going to finish there. I really hope that's been useful for you and interesting. If you've got questions, then I'm more than happy for you to ask me. To be honest, doing it now is not the best time, because anything that's said to me on a Sunday afternoon, I tend to forget, because there's lots of things going on. So feel free to email me If you don't know my email address, come and grab it off me later. Or ring me or arrange to meet with me. I'm more than happy to do coffees in Costa. Okay? That's my second office. Happy to meet people there and have coffee with them and talk through this in more detail. Hope that's been helpful. We're going to finish there. Next week, we are coming together to worship God for the whole time, which will be good. And the children will have finished by now, so let's go and fetch them. And good, we're finished for this week.